The fact that I had found my wife and child made sensational news at the crematorium. I took warm clothing, linen, and stockings from the clothing department, toothbrushes, nail cutters, penknives, and combs from the toilet article section. From the pharmacy, I got a stock of vitamin pills, ointment for their sores, and anything else I thought might be useful. I got a sizable quantity, much more than was necessary for my wife and daughter. Besides, I filled my sack with blocks of sugar, butter, jam, and bread in quantities large enough to be able to distribute them to the other prisoners. So it was that I left for the sea camp with my sack bulging. But all good things must come to an end. For 3 weeks, I visited sea camp every day. One day, what I was afraid would happen actually came to pass. I had already come to the conclusion, after the liquidation of the Czech and Gypsy camps, that extermination was merely a matter of chronological order. Sooner or later, the time came for all those who spent their days of misery within the confines of Auschwitz's barbed wire barriers. One afternoon, I was seated at my work table in the laboratory. Dr. Mengele and Dr. Thilo were present, discussing questions pertaining to the KZ's administration. Dr. Mengele, as though he had just reached a decision, got up from his chair and said to Dr. Thilo, "I am no longer able to feed the dilapidated prisoners of sea camp. I shall have them liquidated during the next 2 weeks." Such scenes often took place in my presence. Affairs of a most confidential nature were discussed as though I were not even there. Was I not, after all, a living dead man, whose presence no longer meant anything? I was deeply shaken by Dr. Mengele's decision concerning the liquidation of sea camp, for it concerned not only my immediate family, but thousands of my unfortunate compatriots. I had to act immediately. As soon as Dr. Mengele and Dr. Thilo left the crematorium, I followed them and headed directly for D camp, where the SS group which supervised the incorporation of foreign prisoners into forced labor battalions was installed. In this camp, the prisoners necessary for that program of slave labor in force throughout all Germany were portioned out. And an interjection. Although we're never encouraged to think about it, German Nazism was an economic system, a forced work economic engine. But war itself is an economic system. War itself, its result being its purpose, control of us, is economic in function, removing from us any hope of self-determined access to our own reproduction process, which we discussed a few shows back, and is given vivid illustration in Savage Continent, Europe in the Aftermath of World War II, by Keith Lowe. And I will continue next week with Miklos Niesley's Auschwitz. And until then, peace.